ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، الصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. So inshallah we are going to start the fourth Quranic diagrammatic overview today. And you want to look at the fourth juz. So here we are on point 5 or part 5, ayat 102 onwards. So let's inshallah take that part 5, then ayat 102 to 120. Advice to the ummah to be organized. Yeah. So this is the advice. Now some ayat we will be taking ayat 102, 3, 4, 110, 113 and 120. These ayat in order to see this topic. Bismillah. Billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This ayah 102 and 103 and 104. Let's take these. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ittaqullaha haqqa tuqatihi. O you who believe. O you who believe, have taqwa of Allah as is Allah's right, as He should be. وَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And do not die but as Muslim. This is the first advice that has been given to the Muslims for them to be united body, have taqwa of Allah. The second ayah here that we're looking at, 103, وَاْتَصِمُوا بِحَبْلِ اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا. And hold fast to the rope of Allah, which is Al-Qur'an. وَلَا تَفَرَّقُوا. And do not be divided. وَذْكُرُوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ. And remember the ni'mah, the blessing of Allah upon you. إِذْ كُنْتُمْ أَعْدَاءً. When you were enemies. فَأَلَّفَ بَيْنَ قُلُوبِكُمْ. But Allah Ta'ala, He joined your hearts. فَأَصْبَحْتُمْ بِنِعْمَةٍ إِخْوَانًا. And He made you brothers, a brotherhood. وَكُنْتُمْ عَلَى شَفَى حُفْرَةٍ مِنَ النَّارِ. And you were just on the edge of falling into the pit of fire. فَأَنْقَذَكُمْ مِنْهَا. And He saved you from that. كَذَلَكَ يُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ آيَاتِهِ لَلَّكُمْ تَحْتَدُونَ. And this is how Allah Ta'ala, He explains His ayat, makes them clear to you so that you may be guided. So, another aspect here, how will we be united? With Hablillah, this rope of Allah. Just imagine it as the rope which is extended from the sama, the sky, down to earth. If all the people, all the believers, they hold on to this rope, would they differ? Can they differ? No, because they are holding on to the same rope. It is only when we choose not to follow that or hold on to that rope that the differences are introduced. So hence, the message being given here is stick to Quran. And again, the rights of the Quran, to believe in it, read it, understand it, act upon it, and then convey it. And this is, subhanAllah, this is reminding us of the obligation and the responsibility on the ummah. وَلْتَكُمْ مِنْكُمْ أُمَّةٌ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى الْخَيْرِ وَيَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَيَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And let there be, and let there arise from amongst you a nation inviting to all that is good, and enjoining what is right and forbidding what is evil. This is the whole plan of the ummah being laid out for us. That there needs to be a group of people who are dedicated to this task from amongst the ummah, and then the whole ummah and its responsibility then becomes fulfilled through this group of people. Otherwise, the whole ummah is to blame. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. These people will be successful in the hereafter. Falaha usually responds, or it is talking usually about success in the hereafter. So some ayat there. And then let's take ayah number 110, which is very, very relevant to what we have just looked at. كُنْتُمْ خَيْرَ أُمَّةٍ أُخْرِجَتْ لِلنَّاسِ. You are the best ummah that has been produced or that has been extracted for mankind. This ummah. And what does this do? This ummah, what does it do? How does it benefit mankind? The top most way in which a nation can benefit mankind is being now described. تَأْمُرُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَتَنْهَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ. They command that which is good and they forbid that which is evil and they believe in Allah. SubhanAllah, this is such an amazing social mechanism, if you think about it. To exhort each other, to remind other people to do good, and to remind them and exhort them and encourage them and discourage them from doing bad. This is a self-maintenance system for society. If people do this, everybody benefits. If people neglect it, everybody suffers. Just like as in the hadith, very famous hadith of the boat or the ship with two levels, the top deck and the lower deck. And the people on the lower deck, they wanted to get some water. So they said, let's go for something direct. Let's drill a hole and access the water. They didn't ask the people on the upper deck to provide them with the water. Who would suffer? All of them. The whole ship would sink. Just like that. If people do not do Amar bil Ma'ruf, Nahi anil Munkar, everybody suffers. The people who don't do it, they suffer. And other people, they suffer. But if they do it, everybody benefits. So this is outlining and telling us our whole vision. وَلَوْ آمَنَ أَحْلُ الْكِتَابِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ مِنْهُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَأَكْثَرُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. Again, an invitation to the people of the book. If they believe, this is better for them. But you will find that majority of them, they are not inclined towards the guidance. In fact, they would be defiantly disobedient. So, advice to the Muslim Ummah. Just let's recap where we are. Yeah, advice to the Muslim Ummah to be organized. Hold fast to the rope of Allah. Become a nation that is inviting to good and forbidding evil. Next, we want to take, within this section still, Ayah 13, 113, just an example of Allah Ta'ala mentioning regarding the people of the book, لَيْسُ سَوَاعًا. They are not all the same. مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ أُمَّةٌ قَائِمَةٌ يَتْلُونَ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ آنَاءَ اللَّيْلِ وَهُمْ يَسْجُدُونَ. Among the people of the book is a community, or there are people who recite the verses of Allah during the periods of the night and they prostrate in prayer. They are not all the same. Yes? Allah Ta'ala is acknowledging the fact that there are some good people as well. Moving on then. But because the vast majority of the people that you interact with from your experience, you will find that they are not going to invite you to what is right, what the Quran says, unfortunately. Hence, you need to pick and choose your friends very carefully. So, ayah number 118 is giving us advice. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. O you who believe, لَا تَتَّخِذُوا بِطَانَةً مِّن دُونِكُمْ. Do not take as close inmates, very close friends, other than yourselves, meaning the believers. Why? Because they will not spare any ruin for you. They wish you would have hardship. Hatred has already appeared from their mouths, and what their breasts conceal is greater. And we have certainly made clear to you the signs, if you will use reason. So Allah Ta'ala, He is warning us as an ummah, do not be naive. Look for good in people. Encourage them to do good. Encourage people not to do bad. But do not let down your guard. And then how to actually stay on this path. How to stay on this path. So it says, إِن تَمْسَسْكُمْ حَسَنَةٌ. This is ayah 120. تَسُؤْهُمْ. If good touches you, it distresses them. وَإِن تُصِبْكُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَفْرَهُ بِهَا. But if harm strikes you, they rejoice at it. So what do we do? What should we do? وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. If you remain steadfast and you remain very mindful of your obligations towards Allah, you remember the first ayah we mentioned today? اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ قَتُقَاتِهِ. have taqwa of Allah. لا يضركم كيدهم شيئا. None of their plotting will affect you in the very least, at all. إِنَّ اللَّهَ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطٌ. Allah Ta'ala, He is encompassing what they're doing anyway. Nobody is going to be able to escape the final judgment. We then move on now to the next section. This is actually an amazing section, subhanAllah, about a commentary on Uhud, the defeat that the Muslims faced, and part of it, in Allah's wisdom, the objectives were to also differentiate between and distinguish between the real believers and the hypocrites, the munafiq. Now, just some introductory points so that we can contextualize Uhud. As you know, after the Prophet ﷺ, he came to Medina, Al-Madinah. The first thing he did, he made sure that there was unity by doing a few things. Number one, building the masjid, first of all. Then muakhat. Then he established an example of universal brotherhood that nobody had witnessed ever before, subhanAllah. Made the Ansar the brother of the Muhajir. The helper became the brother of the person who migrated. Amazing brotherhood. And then he was not naive. He knew that the Quraysh are now looking to attack the Muslims. So he was very vigilant and he was very proactive. Now in the second of Hijrah, no time to explain, but the second of Hijrah, it just so happened that the Prophet ﷺ, he went out to intercept a trade caravan by Abu Sufyan. This eventually, the matters developed, this eventually became a battle. Yeah, the Battle of Badr, as we know. The Muslims, of course, they had not intended to fight. They had come out to intercept a caravan. And the caravan actually had the belongings of the people of Makkah, the Muslims who had to flee from Makkah. So it was actually to reclaim their goods back. But anyway, Badr happened. There were 313 or 15 approximately Muslims, unarmed, maybe a few swords, not equipped, against an army of 1,000 of the Quraysh. And by the grace of Allah, by Allah Ta'ala's help, they killed many of their great chiefs, 70 of them, and they were victorious. And it was a big blow to Quraysh and Makkah, and for the Arabian Peninsula, this was a great shock. It sent tremors, because it was a band of people who have now taken on board the custodians of the Kaaba. These are the main people, and defeated them. As a result of this, the Quraysh, because they could not believe this had happened, some of them even said, "We will mourn until we take revenge. Some of them said, "We will not sleep on our beds, we will sleep on the floor until we take revenge." So the Prophet ﷺ was very aware of this. Anyway, it just so happened that in the second year, the third year of Hijrah, a year after that, the Quraysh now come and they are going to attack the Muslims. The Prophet ﷺ, before this, when he gets news of this, because he had intelligence service, yes, to find out what is happening, he makes mashawara, he makes counsel with the ashab. And the two opinions that come out of that is either we fight within Makkah, within Medina, or we go outside, we take the battle to the battleground. The Prophet ﷺ himself, he was of the opinion to stay within Medina. And it is amazing that Abdullah ibn Ubay, who is the chief of the hypocrites, Abdullah ibn Ubay, he was also of the same opinion, but the intentions were totally different. Prophet ﷺ had the right intention, of course. And Abdullah ibn Ubay, his intention was because he was a coward, because he did not have iman. He did not want to fight. But the Sahaba, who had not been given the privilege of attending Badr, they said, "No, we want to fight at Uhud. We want to go out, we want to take the fight to the people who are coming to attack us, and we will attack them." So just some preliminary or some historic background there. We take some ayat in this context so that the context is clear. Ayat number then, 121. وَإِذْ غَدَوْتَ مِنْ أَهْلِكَ تُبَوِّئُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ مَقَادِعَ لِلْقِتَالِ وَاللَّهُ سَمِيعٌ عَلِيمٌ. And remember, when you, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, left your family in the morning to post the believers at their stations for the battle of Uhud, and Allah is all hearing and all knowing. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, now, once he put on two armors, he put on two armors, by the way, for this, because this was a serious battle. And the Muslimin, they came out, if I remember correctly, there were 1,000 Muslims against 3,000 disbelievers, if I remember correctly. But correct me if you have something other than that, yeah? And Abdullah ibn Ubay, he at just before the fighting was about to start, he left with 300 of his followers, the hypocrites. So now, instead of 1,000 against 3,000, it was 700 against 3,000. So the ratio from 1 to 3 dropped to 1 to 4. So what happened in this context is حَمَّدْ طَعِفَتَانِ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ تَفْشَلَ وَاللَّهُ وَلِّيُّهُمَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. When two parties amongst you were about to lose courage when they saw Abdullah ibn Ubay leaving with 300. But Allah was their ally, and upon Allah the believers should rely. So two of the tribes, two tribes of the Muslims, they started to lose courage when they saw this happening. But Allah Ta'ala, He strengthened them. He gave them that courage and they didn't flee. So this section really is going into the detail not only of the historical facts, it is going deep inside what the people were feeling. Yeah? And this, you will find that the objective behind this, and the objective in fact, we mentioned yesterday, about the whole of life is to sift the true believers from the people who don't have true belief. لِيَمِيدَ الْخَبِيثُ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. We will mention this today. Khair, moving on then. Let's move on to ayah 132. وَأَطِيعُوا اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Now what happened? The Prophet ﷺ, he had stationed the army. He had made the flanks. Who is the leader of this? The left, the right, the center. Who is the cavalry, etc. And he made Abdullah ibn Jubayr radiallahu anhu the commander of 50 archers on the hill, because it was a strategic place. The Prophet ﷺ actually strategically placed the Muslimin so that Uhud was behind them. Yes? So that if they needed to retreat, they could retreat up the mountain and then the enemy could not then attack, because you have the upper hand if you are at a higher ground. But the only place he could see where the enemy may be able to come in without announcing was through a hill or a pathway. So what the Prophet ﷺ, he did, he told the archers, and subhanAllah, the hadith is amazing. The hadith says, even if you see that we have been killed and the birds are coming to eat from us, do not move from here. But the 50 archers had been placed there. Now, as the fighting proceeded, the believers had the upper hand. There were people like Umar radiallahu anhu and Hamza radiallahu anhu and Abu Dijana. You know Abu Dijana? You need to know Abu Dijana. Abu Dijana, when he used to come out to fight, he would wear a red band around his head. Yeah? And when he would put that red band around his head, now everybody knew this man, he's ready for it, going for it. Just do it. Yes, he's ready now. He will either die or he will fight until the end. This was Abu Dijana. And you know Abu Dijana? Prophet ﷺ, he waved his sword up and he said, who will fulfill the right of this sword for the battle? And Abu Dijana says, what is the right? Prophet ﷺ said, to fight with this until it is bent. And Abu Dijana said, I will. And then he started to swagger. Yeah, show off, okay, which is not allowed, but only in this situation, when the army is facing the other army, to cast terror into the hearts of the enemy, subhanallah. So these lions were roaring on that battlefield, and they were taking it all out, all of the enemies. And you know what? The Quraysh had come with very, very certain preparations. So they had come with fully, being fully armed, etc. But also they had come with their women folk to make the men feel cowardly if the women are watching us to fight. And they had prescribed poets to actually produce poetry that would encourage them to fight. But when they started to flee, the disbelievers, the Quraysh, they started to flee, the women were saying, go back to the fight, go back to the fight, especially Hind. She became Muslim later on. But as you know, Hamza radiallahu anhu, he was shaheed in this. So the believers had to retreat. So the lesson here is, وَأَطِيُوا اللَّهُ وَالرَّسُولَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. If you were to obey Allah and His Messenger, especially when He said, do not leave the hill, because when it seemed like the battle was over, and we have won decisively, the believers then started to descend the hill, because now the army has won. So no need for us to be here anymore. So we will now go and collect the booty. So the lesson was being taught here, you should have obeyed Allah and His Rasul. Because Allah Ta'ala's Rasul, when you obey Allah, you are obeying, when you are obeying Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are obeying Allah. And if you are obeying the Amir of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abdullah ibn Jubair, then that means you are obeying Rasulullah, which means you are obeying Allah. Yes? So hence we have to learn the lesson to obey the person in charge. As long as the person is commanding you that which is ma'ruf, good, not evil. Anyway, we move on then. Next ayah we want to take, ayah 132 we've taken, 133. وَصَارِئُوا إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ وَجَنَّةٍ أَرْضُهَا السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ وِدَّتْ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. And hasten to forgiveness. Do not just wait for the Jannah, hasten for it. Work for it. Go for it proactively to attain it. And the heaven is how? Unimaginable. Its width. Subhanallah al-Azim. And then the qualities have been given here of the people of this type. Alladhina yunfiquna. What is yunfiqun from yesterday? What is infaq? What is infaq? To spend in the way of Allah. Jazakumullah khair. Excellent. Yunfiquna fi sarra'i wa dharra'i wal kadhimina al ghaydh wal afina anin nas wallahu yubbul muhsinin. Look at these beautiful qualities of these believers who spend in the cause of Allah during ease and hardship. When it's easy, they spend. They don't forget Allah. When it's hard, they don't forget Allah. They spend. And who restrain their anger. قَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْبِ. They do not let anger get the better of them. And who pardon the people much. عَفِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. Allah loves this, these types of good doers. وَلَا تَحِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا وَأَنْتُمُ الْعَلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. So do not be weakened or do not grieve. And you will be superior and you will be the people who are on top if you are true believers. Meaning Iman is the key. Now, again, this is a commentary after Uhud has taken place. Yeah, for us to look back and think, these are the mistakes we made, these are the lessons we need to take. So Allah Ta'ala is saying here, إِن يَمْسَسْكُمْ قَرْهٌ فَقَدْ مَسَّ الْقَوْمَ قَرْهٌ مِثْلُ. If a wound should touch you, so in Uhud, you were wounded. But the enemy was wounded in Badr, before you. وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلَهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءُ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الظَّالِمِينَ. Allah Ta'ala is now telling us a sunnah of Allah. You know, if you study economics, or maybe history, you see trends, yes? Usually you draw graphs of trends. This is the trend Allah Ta'ala is telling us. Allah Ta'ala is telling us, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. We change the days between nations. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose. Sometimes you are up, sometimes you are down. Why though? What for? The sunnah has been given here now. وَلِيَعْلَمَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. So that He can made it known in this life and in the hereafter who are the true believers. Who don't just say that we believe, but they act upon the belief by following what Allah and the Rasul say. وَيَتَّخِذَ مِنْكُمْ شُهَدَاءَ. And then some He gives the privilege of even becoming shaheed. for his cause. And he does not like dhulm and the people who do injustice. No. وَلِيُمَحِّصَ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَيَمْحَقَ الْكَافِرِينَ. And that is how Allah Ta'ala, He would purify the believers through trials. To make a note of this word, fitna. Yeah? Make a note of this word, fitna. Fitna is a process through which gold and silver is purified through passing through fire. Yes? This is fitna. Just like that, in our life, we have to go through hardships to get rid of any impurities in us so that when we meet Allah, we are pure gold, inshallah. This is fitna. So the whole life is fitna for every human being. And then again, Allah Ta'ala is reminding the people, أَمْ حَسِبْتُمْ أَن تَدْخُلُوا الْجَنَّةَ وَلَمَّا يَعْلَمِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا مِنْكُمْ وَيَعْلَمَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Do you think you will enter Jannah? You will just enter Jannah because you said La ilaha illallah? Will we just enter Jannah because we were born in a Muslim family, for example? No. You have to qualify. To just say La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is the first step. Then we need to qualify for Al-Jannah. This is what Allah Ta'ala is telling us. That He will make it known through the actions of people, whether they qualify or not. Khair. Moving on then. And then what happened? During the battle, the rumor was spread that the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has been killed. This rumor had spread. And this had a devastating effect on the Muslims. Because for them, it was as if the biggest calamity had now struck them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he told us that whenever you are struck by a calamity, always think of the loss that you suffered when I passed away. Because there is no loss greater than the loss of the Prophet ﷺ. So the believers were really, really struck at this point. So Allah Ta'ala is telling them, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ. Muhammad ﷺ is not but a Rasul, a messenger. قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرَّسُولِ. Many Rasul came before him, messengers. أَفَإِن مَاتَ. And if he dies, أو قُتِلَ, or he is killed. إِنْ قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَقَابِكُمْ. Will you then turn back on your heels? Meaning that will you lose your faith now? Your faith is with Allah, belief in Allah and the Rasul, but not only until the Rasul is there. It is there forever. وَمَنْ يَنْقَلِبْ عَلَىٰ أَخِبَيْهِ فَلَنْ يَذُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. And whoever does turn back will not harm Allah. وَسَيَجْزِ اللَّهُ الشَّاكِرِينَ. But Allah, He will very soon, He will reward the people who are grateful and they fulfill their covenant here. So this was another devastation that happened at the time of Uhud that has been mentioned here. We move on then to ayahs 152 onwards. وَلَقَدْ صَدَقَكُمُ اللَّهُ وَعْدَهُ إِذْ تَحُصُّونَهُمْ بِإِذْنِهِ. And again a commentary here. And Allah had certainly fulfilled His promise to you when you were killing the enemy by His permission, until when you lost courage and you fell to disputing about the order given by the Prophet. So two things have been identified as the cause of defeat. You lose courage. You give up. Yeah. Another thing, tafshala, you can understand is that once the archers saw that the battle is over, now the spirit fell. Yeah. And they disobeyed the Prophet. That is when the victory changed into defeat. Among you are some who desire this world, and among you are some who desire the hereafter. Subhanallah. Allah Ta'ala is telling us of the inside of the believers there. The believers even. They preferred at this point for the booty. There was no wrong intention there. It was a natural inclination that now the battle is over, we will go and collect the booty. Allah Ta'ala is correcting us. No, always, always, the objective should be the hereafter. Do you know what booty is called in Arabic? Anfal. Anfal is from what? Nafal. What is Nafal? Extra. SubhanAllah. See? Even Allah mentioned it as Nafal. So that we don't make it our main goal. Yeah? The main goal is the pleasure of Allah and the reward in the hereafter. Then he turned you back from them, defeated, that he might test you, and he has already forgiven you, and Allah is the possessor of bounty for the believers. So Allah, although he's reprimanding, he says, I forgive you as well, subhanAllah. Therefore, we can never ever judge, we should never ever doubt the intention of the Ashab al-Nabi. Allah has mentioned, I forgave them, end of the chapter. We listen and we obey to that, and we learn the lessons from that. Now, when the believers had come back up, because when they retreated, they came up the mountain, Uhud. And they came to a state where Abu Sufyan now, and Khalid ibn al-Walid, because you know Khalid ibn al-Walid was the commander of the cavalry, he is the one who then came round the hill and attacked the believers from behind. So the believers had been sandwiched from the enemy in front and from Khalid ibn al-Walid and his people from behind. So when they retreated, a tactical retreat up the mountain, as the strategy was, this is what is now being told to them. That once they had reached there and all these difficulties had been you had gone through all these difficulties. Now I'm really restraining myself from going into detail. I'm very tempted to, but I'm trying not to. So this is yani to have the scene in mind. ثم أنزل عليكم من بعد الغم أمنة نعاسا يغشى طائفة منكم. When the believers then they came up to the hill and they stopped under the shields, Allah Ta'ala, he sent this blessing of sleep. Some of the Sahaba, they fell asleep for a while, subhanAllah. Allahu Akbar. This is a blessing from Allah. Anyway, we take the translation, too long to go through it. He sent down upon you security in the form of drowsiness, overcoming a faction of you, while another faction worried about themselves, thinking of Allah other than the truth, meaning the people who are not true believers, saying, is there anything for us in this matter? Meaning, why didn't they listen to us? Why didn't they fight in Medina? Why did they have to come out here and get killed? Because the iman wasn't there. Say, indeed, the matter belongs completely to Allah. It's up to Allah. They say, if there was anything we could have done in the matter, we would not have been killed here. Say, even if you had been inside your houses, those decreed to be killed would have come out to their deathbeds. You cannot escape death. You cannot run from death. It was so that Allah might test what is in their breasts and purify what is in your hearts. Again, testing. Hardship comes as a test to see what the person does. This is life. And based on that, Allah Ta'ala, He will decide once He has given us the opportunity, although Allah knows already. He knows already. But He will give us the opportunity to prove our worth. And based on that, justice will be done. This is just. Khair. Moving on then. Ayah 159 then, let's take. And this is talking about the leadership of the Prophet ﷺ. How he consults and how we should consult. فَبِمَا رَحْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ لِنْتَ لَهُمْ. So by the mercy of your Lord Muhammad ﷺ, you were lenient with them. وَلَوْ كُنْتَ فَضًّا غَلِيدَ الْقَلْبِ. But if you are very hard-hearted and rude in speech as a leader, لَنْفَضُّ مِنْ حَوْلِكَ. They would have disbanded from about you. They would have left you. So the leader needs to be not hard-hearted, not rude. Yeah, needs to be compassionate. But at the same time, look at the balance. Yeah, firm. It will come later on. فَعْفُ عَنْهُمْ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. Even though this has happened now, yeah, this had happened, Uhud happened, but how should you now treat them? Forgive them, number one. Turn away from them, meaning ignore it, it's done. وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لَهُمْ. Ask Allah to forgive them. SubhanAllah, Allah is giving them a status. وَشَاوِرْهُمْ فِي الْأَمْرِ. And still counsel them, ask them for their opinion in the matter. Do not now just get rid of them, say, no, you did this in Uhud, nothing to do with you. No, don't do that to them. فَإِذَا عَزَمْتَ فَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ. But when you have decided a matter, O leader, then rely on Allah. Don't now go back. You have decided. You have to take a firm decision once you have done the counsel. Don't take a half-hearted decision. Decide properly. And then rely on Allah. إِنَّ اللَّهِ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَوَكِّلِينَ. Allah, He loves the people who rely on Him alone. And look at this. SubhanAllah. إِنْ يَنْصُرُكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. If you aid Allah, How can you aid Allah? Who can tell us? How can we aid Allah? Does Allah need our help? What does it mean to help Allah? Yes, Mobinul. Not quite here. It means to help the cause of Allah. The cause of Allah is what? So explain.
To spread the message.
To convey the message. Yes, this is the whole objective here. So if you help him, Allah Ta'ala says, فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ. Then no one can overcome you. وَإِنْ يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ الَّذِي يَنْصُرْكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِ. But if you betray it, yeah, you forsake it, you don't do that, then who can you expect to help you now? Because what you have done, you have not registered yourself for the help of Allah. Yes, you haven't registered because you're not attending the lectures. Yeah, when you check the register. I don't know what happens now. In our times, they would stop your grant if you don't attend lectures. So that was an incentive to attend lectures. Yes? So if you don't attend, meaning you do not do what you're supposed to do, then you cannot expect the help from Allah. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكِّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. So hence, the believers should rely on Allah after they have made the effort, not before. Yeah? You rely on Allah after you make your effort, not before. Okay, let's take a few more from this section. Ayah 164. Again, this has been mentioned before as well a few times. This is talking about the Prophet ﷺ and his objectives. Yeah, we mentioned it a few times before. Just I will mention the things. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِهِ وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ وَيُعَلِّمُهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ وَإِنْ كَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ لَفِي ضُلَالٍ مُبِينٍ. Just as the ayah, part of it is in Surah Al-Jumu'ah. The Prophet ﷺ has been sent to recite the ayat, purify you, teach you the book, and to teach you the wisdom. So hence we need to take heed. And Ayah 179 again talks about this universal principle. مَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيَذَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ عَلَى مَا أَنْتُمْ عَلَيْهِ حَتَّى يَمِيدَ الْخَبِيثَ مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. You really need to understand this ayah, subhanAllah. Allah would not leave the believers in that state that you are in already until He separates the evil from the good, it says here. خَبِيث مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ يَمِيزَ الْخَبِيث مِنَ الطَّيِّبِ. Allah Ta'ala always will create the situation to test who is the true believer from the people who just claim to believe. Yes, we need to keep that in mind all the time. That is this a test? Yes, it is a test. How do I need to act in this test? So I become the people who are tayyib, pure, in the sight of Allah. Allahumma rabbajalna minhum, may Allah make us from amongst them. And just let's take the last section here of this surah. Yeah, the concluding part, seventh part. Although I wanted to go in more detail about Uhud, but no, there's no time. 190 to 200, yeah? So, 190 ayah. Inna fi khalqi samawati wal ard wa ikhtilafi al-layli wal nahari la ayatin li uli al-albab. The people who have intellect, who reflect, there have been given here many, many of their characteristics. The only characteristic I can take in the time is this one. الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُؤُودًا وَعَلَىٰ جُنُوبِهِمْ. The people of real intellect, yes, they look in their creation, and because they realize Allah is the creator, then they don't forget Him in any activity in life. And what else do they do? وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. And they look and they contemplate and they ponder in the creation, and the conclusion they come to is رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Oh Allah, You did not create all of this without a purpose. You are above what people associate with You. You are above this creation. Hence, the purpose is test hereafter. Oh, save us from the hellfire, Allah. So there you see, they come to the conclusion by reflecting. And we will end just this surah with this last ayah. And this really is a summary of the whole section that we have looked at from Al-Uhud. not Al-Uhud, Ghazwat Al-Uhud. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, O you who believe, isbiru, wasabiru, warabitu, wattaqullah. Four things Allah Ta'ala is telling us in our mission of conveying the message we have to do. Isbiru, have sabr. Sabiru, be more patient and firm. And also sabiru means encourage each other to be steadfast. وَتَوَاسَوْ بِسَبْرِ وَرَابِطُ Rabitu means to be organized and perpetual in something. And finally, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ Have taqwa of Allah. لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِهُونَ So that you may attain success in the hereafter. So with that, we have completed this surah, Surah Ali Imran. And we will now take the next surah, which is Surah An-Nisa, Surah number 4. Period of revelation. Its period of revelation is between the third year of Hijrah, Shawwal, after Uhud, from that period up to the sixth year of Hijrah in Sha'ban, where the Ghazwa of Bani al-Mustaliq took place. So just a time frame in your mind so that you are, inshallah, starting to appreciate, because it's important to understand the time frame, to understand the ayat in their proper context. The third hijrah to the sixth hijrah. It was revealed in parts over this period, of course, after Uhud. And it talks about, after Uhud, many ashab, 70 of them, were shaheed. Yes? So there were many widows now. And there were many orphans now. So now what to do? How to deal with them? What are their rights? SubhanAllah, look at this. Allah Ta'ala, as if SubhanAllah, I was thinking, maybe I'm correct or wrong, Allah knows. If you look at the seerah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the whole life of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and you look at Al-Quran, as if Allah Ta'ala, He made it happen exactly how it should be, of course. But in such an amazing way that it is guidance until the Day of Judgment for every human being and every society. That is an amazing thing in its own right. Did you understand the point? Amazing, SubhanAllah. So, there needed to be now legislation for these segments of society. So, it will talk about nikah in this surah, mahr, inheritance, waratha. And it will also talk about the munafiqoon, who are now starting to become more stronger in their efforts or more forceful. Now let's just see the rabt, the link we mentioned, yeah? So we know the link between Al-Fatiha and Ali Imran and Al-Baqarah and Ali Imran now, yeah? So now what's the link between Ali Imran, the previous surah, and An-Nisa? In Ali Imran, we have been told to be a collective ummah. Yes, a collective ummah, so that we can convey the message. In this surah, An-Nisa, you will see this central theme, how it connects to that. It says, command to establish a strong union based on Tawheed in all its affairs, ranging from the family to the state. So now this will actually tell us, as a family, how can be a united entity based on Tawheed, up to how the state needs to act. To save the Muslims from nifaq, hypocrisy, and to invite the whole of humanity, especially the people of the book to Islam. So this is now going to tell us more about those nitty-gritty points that we need to know to be a united and cohesive community. We are going to take ayahs 1 to 24. This is surah, this is the juz from 1 to 24. So principles for a healthy society. Let's take then the first ayah. And this ayah, inshallah, you will be familiar with it. It is normally recited in the khutbah of nikah and the khutbah of Jummah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhan nas uttaqu rabbakum alladhi khalaqakum min nafsin wahida wa khalaqa minha zawjaha wa batha minhuma rijalan katheeran wa nisaa. Wattaqullaha alladhi tasaaluna bihi wal arham innallaha kana alaykum raqiba. Allah Ta'ala is addressing mankind here. So the unity really is of mankind. O mankind, fear your Lord who created you from one soul, Adam, and from he created his mate Eve, and dispersed from both of them many men and women. They all came from Adam and Hawa. and fear Allah through whom you ask one another and the wombs. Meaning, we are all connected by the womb as a society. Indeed, Allah is ever over you and observer. So this is the first step towards unity. Understand our origins. Our origins are the same. A person who believes in this can never be racist. Impossible for him to be racist. Cannot be a nationalist. Cannot be a tribalist. Cannot be any ist that will divide people. No. One Allah, one creation, one humanity, that's it. Finished. Simple as that. This is how we need to see everybody. Everybody is equal in the sight of Allah. Unless the taqwa, only Allah knows who has what taqwa. Okay, moving on. It then talks about the rights of orphans. And it says, do not eat their wealth. And it talks about nikah. It will talk about nikah. We take that, maybe that ayah. This one, let's take this. Ayah 4. وَآتُ النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلَةً And give the women upon marriage their bridal gift, meaning their mahar, graciously. Not as a, oh my God, I have to pay this. No. Yeah, graciously, happily. فَإِنْ طِبْنَ لَكُمْ أَنْ شَيْءٍ مِّنْهُ نَفْسًا فَكُلُوهُ حَنِيًّا مَرِيًّا But if they give you something willfully, then you can accept it and you can enjoy it. Nothing wrong as long as they give it to you. Now, subhanAllah, in this surah you will find so many rights that Allah He has given to women that were not there in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. And then it talks about the yatim, the orphans. وَلَا تُطُّ سُفَهَاءَ مُوَالَكُمُ الَّتِي جَعَلَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ قِيَامًا وَارْزُقُوهُمْ فِيهَا وَكْسُوهُمْ وَقُولُوا لَهُمْ قَوْلًا مَعْرُوفًا General, in general, and do not give the weak-minded your property, meaning the orphan has inherited something because the father had passed away. You cannot hand it over because he has not reached an age of puberty and doesn't understand his own affairs. So do not hand it over, but take care of them and speak to them in a nice manner. Take care of them. And then it tells us about you need to then, once they are ready, وَابْتَلُوا الْيَتَامَ Test, find out, make sure this person, he is able to take care of his own belongings, his wealth. Then you give it to them. Let's take some ayat about the laws of inheritance. Ayahs 12 to 14. Now, I'm not going to go through these because these are too long, yeah? But just for you to know about them, ayahs 12 to 14. It gives us the laws of inheritance here. And the mention that I want to make here is something called hududullah. So, tilka hududullah, Allah Ta'ala is saying in ayah 13, tilka hududullah, meaning the laws of inheritance. These are the limits by Allah, given by Allah. وَمَنْ يُطِئِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِ مِنْ تَحْتِيَ الْأَنْهَارُ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا وَذَلِكَ الْفَوْزُ الْعَظِيمُ Whoever sticks to these by obeying Allah and His Messenger, he will be given gardens under which rivers flow. This is the great achievement. But, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَهُ حُدُودَهُ يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَلَهُ أَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنْ ذَلِكَ And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger and transgresses His limits, the laws of inheritance we have to follow. We can't say, no, in my culture this happens. In my way, I was speaking to somebody a long time ago. I said, no, Islamically you have to do it. No, but in my culture, or in my, the way we do it back home, in my tribe or whatever. SubhanAllah, what is this? I'm ajib. Yani amazing. Astaghfirullah. Khair. Moving on. It talks then about nikah. Ayah number 19. And it says that, we take this ayah. O you who have believed, it is not lawful for you to inherit women by compulsion. So you cannot take women as your wives without their agreement. That's one clear understanding. Also, you cannot inherit them that because they passed, their husbands passed away, they now become your wives. And this was a practice, yeah, no time to go into it, called maqta. Yeah, maybe we at some point we'll go through it. And do not make difficulties for them in order to take part of what you have given them, unless they commit a clear immorality. And live with them in kindness. And look at this part of the ayah. This is an amazing part. Especially for the people who are married. And if you're not married, you will find this, inshallah, soon. How amazing this is, yeah? For if you dislike them, perhaps you dislike a thing and Allah makes therein much good. You may find something in your wife or the wife in the husband that you don't like. Yeah, because be realistic, it's not Bollywood, yeah? We don't live in Bollywood, yeah? In real life, okay? If your wife has some attributes you don't like, there might be some khair in it for you. Allahu Akbar. Look how Allah Ta'ala is telling us that you may not like it, but there might be something good in it for you. And then ayahs 22 to 23 are talking about, I'll take this ayah and then I'll just explain the rest. وَلَا تَنْكِهُ مَا نَكَهَ عَبَاءُكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ إِلَّا مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشَةً وَمَقْتًا وَسَاءَ سَبِيلًا. And do not marry those women whom your fathers married except what has already occurred. If you've done that already, fine, no blame on you. But now you cannot. Meaning your father passed away and his wife, who was not your mother but stepmother, you cannot have them as your wives. But they used to do this in the end, before Islam. And the last section, or the last ayat, really are talking about 15 categories of women who the Muslim cannot marry. And the list is given here. But inshallah, in your time, you should study that and read that. So with that, we have come to the end of the first part of the first part, or the first section, which is only 24 ayat of Surah An-Nisa. We ask Allah Ta'ala to guide us, to open up our hearts and minds to Al-Quran Al-Kareem. And inshallah ta'ala make us those people who can take this Quranic message to the rest of humanity. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wa jazakumullahu khayran. Wa asanul jazaa.